It's derby time. Come on, tell your friends. We'll go to many distant lands with Dan the coach and Jackie the skater. The fun will never end. It's derby time. Welcome to the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. This is Jackie Bauer. Thank you for joining me today on the path to becoming better athletes, teammates, leaders, and human beings. Hi there, listeners. Welcome back. Here's another episode of Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. And I have to say, it's been several months now since roller derby stopped, and some leagues are starting up again. Here and there, some teams have begun their training because they are in areas where they are able to do so. And so this entire time, I've been wondering, at what point do I start having episodes that are a little bit more typical to what you might expect from the podcast? At what point do I start having more that are about drive, athleticism, teamwork, things we could be working on at practice? Well, I don't know how to hold out any longer. Even though I know my area personally, it's still going to be a while. Other people are starting again. People are starting to think about the future. And even though I'm not physically participating in it, I do want to mentally think about the future, and I want to start getting prepared again, and I want to help others get prepared again, just like me. So if you've been listening to the podcast this whole time, this episode might really appeal to you because I have a feeling that you're pretty hungry and this episode's going to be like nom 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 nom. I originally had a plan for this week where I was thinking, inspired by The Last Dance, the documentary on the Chicago Bulls' amazing run and Michael Jordan's career, I thought I was going to be doing a deep dive into Michael Jordan's career exclusively. Because before watching that series, I had read the books 11 Rings by Phil Jackson and also Relentless by Tim Grover. But as I went for like a re-listen to the audiobook by Phil Jackson and now a reread of the book by Tim Grover, I've decided kind of to break it down. And this week I want to focus on the relentless mindset. And next week I want to do more of the deep dive into Jordan's career from the perspective of a coach and how you help that relentless player become a team player and not charge on ahead by yourself and bring everyone else along with you. But to get there, I think we need to start with what the mindset of the individual athlete is. Now, interestingly, I think that this relentless mindset is wonderful for an individual athlete in an individual sport. I think it is more challenging when you play a team sport, even though all the athletes that Grover references in his book are in a team sport. I think that there are some things about it where it's, I'll just say it, I find it at times to be kind of a selfish approach. And I feel like I have every right to say that as a player who has absolutely been at the absolute top of this relentless mindset ideal. And I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to basically talk about some of the ideas in this book, Relentless by Tim Grover. And I'm also going to kind of give the caveat of, I do not 100% agree with all of this now, and here is why, and kind of share a little bit of the evolution of my journey into how I have taken like what I think are the best bits of this idea and molded them into something that feels more authentic and right for me personally and might also for you. A little background on the writer first. Tim Grover was an athlete in his own regard, and injuries ended up forcing him to reimagine what his pursuit in sports was going to be like, and he became a trainer, and for a long time was an individual trainer to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan specifically paid him to train Michael Jordan and nobody else. Although eventually he did become a little bit more generous and started sharing some of that time with other teammates. And I guess I should say Michael Jordan is one of the best athletes of all time and played in the NBA, just in case someone doesn't know, but I don't know how you wouldn't know that. But Grover says that Michael forced every one of his teammates to be ready to play better, harder, stronger, and every one of them ended up with careers they could not duplicate when they were no longer playing with him. You don't have to like it, he said, but you'll like the results. So it's a very singularly focused way of thinking. And let's talk about it. So being relentless is a state of mind that can give you the strength to achieve, to survive, to overcome, and to be strong when others are not. Now, this is something that we can talk about whether you are returning to training with your team or not. I think everyone in the world has been going through something that has tested us physically, emotionally, and mentally with a pandemic. And this state of mind can make you strong and give you a bit of a shield when times are tough. It can give you more resilience under pressure, more resilience in times of adversity, in times of challenge. It basically gives you the endurance to keep carrying on when it's difficult for other people. I feel that at times it's very difficult to continue even just doing this podcast without the sport I love behind it to pursue. And I see so many content creators taking a break, taking a month off, taking time off, taking time away. And I have scaled back my involvement so that I can continue the podcast just because concussion recovery is no joke, folks. However, when I have thought about the idea of maybe just stop, all I can think about is, but what if there's another Jackie out there who really needs this right now? What if there's somebody out there who is looking forward to this every week and needs something to listen to? And when I think about, like, especially little Jackie, early Jackie, I want to keep that player going. I want to keep anyone out there who's like me and has that relentless drive. I want to keep giving you something to work on. And that's why I think this episode's going to be so special for anyone who's like really deep in that kind of competitive mindset. Because let's face it, most people in the world and in sports are willing to settle for good enough, especially in the sport that is a hobby for so many of us. It's not a professional sport. We do not get paid. Even the idea of chasing the Hydra, what do we really get if we get that? We get a sense of accomplishment. There's not going to be a big payday. We talk about derby as a derby career, but I don't know if that's even proper language if it's not something that we are also financially compensated for. It's just kind of this thing we throw ourselves into. And the payoff is not what it is for professional sports. So it's a lot easier to be satisfied with good enough, right? But for some of us, that's not the case. Some of us, good enough isn't good enough. And when we see other people being complacent and being okay with good enough, that's harder to accept. And you start looking around, you're wondering, why aren't other people like me? Why don't other people want this as much as I do? There was definitely a point in my career where I felt like I was putting all of my energy into, I even just said career. I was putting all of my energy into roller derby. Everything was training for roller derby, studying roller derby, making sure I had the proper equipment for roller derby. What could I be working on next? I was always thinking about what's next, what's next, what's the next thing, because I was so hungry for this all the time. And that's still in me. It's just simmering. It's not as strong as it once was. And there's a good reason for that, because being relentless means demanding more of yourself than anyone else could ever demand of you. No one is asking you to do the things you're doing, but you're doing them anyway, knowing every time that you stop, you could actually still be doing more. You must do more. This is the mindset. And this is how I would tackle all of my workouts when I'm not injured, and still would be tackling my workouts if I weren't injured. It's always this thing of you're never quite satisfied and you're always chasing that. And that's the challenging part about being relentless, is even when you do accomplish what you wanted, even when you do hit that goal, you're not happy as long as you thought you would be, because you're already starting to think about the next thing. And I think part of that goes back to episodes we've had on perfectionism and imposter syndrome. We're always chasing this wonderful, wonderful thing. And even when we get it, we don't celebrate it very long. We don't acknowledge it very long. And that's kind of the downside to being relentless, because it can push you to do amazing things, great things. It can push you to the highest levels in sports and in business and in anything you want to pursue. But it can be a lonely journey, and it's often a results-focused journey. And if your whole journey is results-focused, you miss out on the opportunity to enjoy the journey itself, which is where I think that this book is lacking a little bit, because it focuses so hard on that drive and that hunger and that need to succeed. And it doesn't focus on the process as much, and enjoying the process. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the messages from this book. Some of the most important takeaways I got from it are a need to realize when you're overthinking situations. Because sometimes you don't need to think. You already know what you have to do and you know how to do it. So you have to ask yourself, what's stopping you? Sometimes we all get into our own way. And if you want to be truly unstoppable out there on the track, if you want to say, that's my line, I'm going to take it, I'm going to keep it, like no one else is taking it from me, you have to face who you really are and make it work for you, not against you. And that means you aren't going to be Bonnie Thunders. You aren't going to be Lauren Mutch. You aren't going to be Baller Shot Caller. You aren't going to go out there and be a different athlete. You have to figure out who you are as an athlete and what's important to you, and unleash like the most amazing aspects of what you can be and who you can be. I noticed one of the most difficult things that we struggle with, particularly in this sport, with the types of athletes we are, as many of us had never done sports before coming to roller derby, is that there's often a fear of failure, a fear of not succeeding, a fear of what other people will think of you. But this is about facing your fears and getting rid of these things inside you that will guarantee you will fail, because you're thinking about these things instead of focusing on the moment and doing what you need to do. Part of this mindset is forgetting about losing, forgetting about trying. I still find myself doing this sometimes, and I have to be like, why am I saying I'm going to try to do this? If you're trying, losing is still an option. And if you want to be the best, you have to forget that that's even an option. You just need to go do the thing you need to do right now. It's not about, I'm going to try to get lead, or I'm going to try to hold back the other team's jammer. It's about ignoring the exhaustion you might be feeling, ignoring the minor aches and pains that you might be feeling in your body, and especially ignoring the pressure to please everybody else, thinking about what other people are thinking of you. It's about embracing who you are and not letting anyone take opportunities away from you. This is your opportunity. This is your chance to succeed. And when all heck is breaking loose out there on the track, you don't even notice because you're super calm. You're ready. You're prepared. You know that you're the best at what you do, that you are ready for this moment, and you finish it. You just go out there and you finish what you started. The idea of being relentless is putting in more work than everybody else, putting in extra work, knowing what you need to do to be the best, and chasing it like everything depends on this. And that means also understanding a difference between feedback and criticism, because you can't keep improving if you fear others are going to disapprove of what you're doing. You listen to feedback and you ignore criticism, basically. Now, some of this is going to be extra hard right now because there is no pressure coming down on you. So you might be inventing pressure for yourself. I know Michael Jordan often invented scenarios to get himself to perform, whether it be trash talking with the other team or imagining the other team trash talked him. One of my favorite stories was a story about apparently a player who had a really good night came up to Michael Jordan after the game and said, good game. And it was a night Jordan hadn't had a great game. And the next time they played, Jordan like completely dominated that player, wouldn't let that player score at all. And Jordan himself had a field day with points. And so there was this amazing story of how Jordan like showed this other player, this opponent on the other team. But later, when he talked about the story, it turned out it was made up. That player never came and talked to him. Jordan had basically invented a scenario that he needed to go out there and drive himself to fight harder and to do better out there on the court. Michael Jordan understands a truth about sports, and that's when you're finally able to let go and be who you really are, that puts you in the zone. And only then can you control things like fear and inhibition. And only then can you really perform at the top level if you just let go, let everything go. Now, how do you train when you have a relentless mindset? You have to commit. You have to commit to intensity in every moment, in everything you do, working on your body, your skills, your prep. Don't leave anything to chance. And that means off season as well as in season. It means that when you're not training at practice, you're thinking about what are the areas of my body where I could be improving on something right now and making it stronger, improving my agility, my reactions, my strength, making my body more well balanced. Because when everyone else has had enough, you keep pushing yourself harder. And that is what's going to pay off in those big moments in games, in those long games where you play big minutes. It's going to pay off in your performance, and it's going to pay off in your mental endurance as well, because physical dominance, physical training and performance can make you great, but it's really the mental side, the mindset, the mental dominance is what can make you unstoppable. And being relentless is about the pursuit of becoming unstoppable. And when you're unstoppable, you're making everyone else get on your level. You don't go down to theirs. You don't have to go down to theirs because you're not competing with anyone else. Not ever again if you don't want to. You're competing with yourself. Everyone else has to compete against you. You want to become that type of player where you go out there on the track and everybody's thinking about you. You don't worry about your opponent before the game. They're worrying about you. They're the ones thinking about you and wondering, like, what am I going to do about this other player? And if you're nervous, how does the other team feel when they have to deal with you and all your awesomeness that you're going to be bringing to the track? So in order to have what you really want, first, you have to be who you really are. So let's find out who you are. Who are you? What type of player are you? And while this book seems to insist that there's only one right answer, I'm going to tell you all of these. are good answers, because I think it's more important to know who you are and who you want to be than to try to be someone you're not, which is also a message in the book. So Tim Grover believes that there are three types of athletes: coolers, closers, and cleaners. So it's basically the difference between good, great, and unstoppable. A cooler might wait to be told what to do. They're more of a follower. They might be doing more setup situations for the cleaners and the closers. They can get the job done if they're put in the right scenario, but are going to be more uncomfortable if given an unexpected scenario, if put out there in a situation that they have not particularly trained for. Coolers can have an amazing game, while closers have an amazing season. Cleaners have amazing careers. Another example is coolers might be worrying about the competition and how they measure up, but a closer would study the competition and plan their attack based on the opponent. Cleaners make the competition study them. They don't care who they're facing. They know they can handle anyone. Not worried about it. Coolers, we're going to say this according with basketball, coolers avoid taking the winning shot. They want to pass. They want someone else to take it. Closers, they'll take the shot if they know that they've got a good chance of making it. And the cleaners, they just shoot. They don't think about it. They're not worried about success or failure. They just take the shot. And coolers, they need other people to decide whether they're successful. They need to be told if they're successful. They do the job, they go out there and perform, and then they kind of wait to see if you approve. They want to hear feedback. They need coaching or other players to tell them how they did. Closers, they feel good when the job's done. They feel successful. They're pretty pleased with themselves. Cleaners never feel as if they've achieved success because there's always more to do. So that means they could have had a great game, but they're still not happy with it because there's like, oh, I could have done more. I could have done more. They feel like there was more out there that they didn't achieve, that they didn't accomplish. Things left undone. They kind of almost wish they had some do-overs, and all they're thinking about is the next time they play that team, the next time they get that opportunity or that situation, how they're going to react knowing what they know now. Because cleaners are really focused on owning every situation. The term cleaner is kind of interesting because it comes from the idea of the cleaner isn't going to stop and blame who made the mess. Like, there's a mess. They're not going to be like, so-and-so made the mess. They just clean it up. There might not even be a discussion about it. You know, like maybe a teammate goes out there and gets into some penalty trouble and the other team gets some power jams. The cleaner doesn't spend time blaming so-and-so for letting the other team score a bunch of points. The cleaner just goes out there and fixes it. They just go out there the next jam that they get to go out there and they help the team through a comeback. They lead the team with confidence and a plan and a strategy and performance that inspires everybody else to get in and get on board. Let's take a quick break. And when I come back, I will talk more about being relentless and how it relates to roller derby, and also how it related to my career.
Roller Derby Athletics provides high-level coaching to derby athletes worldwide. They've been the leaders in home-based roller derby cross-training for over 7 years. They offer team training plans to support your league. RDA wants to help teams keep working together toward their goals. Membership is now open year-round, so you have access whenever you need it. You can sign up for the Essential Plan, which is great if you prefer to do workout plans on your own, at your own pace. You can choose from a huge library of derby-specific workouts. If you get stuck, there are instructional videos that can help you understand the exact moves you need to get maximum results. There's also the MVP plan, which is perfect for the derby athlete who enjoys additional coaching. This plan is personalized to your needs and can help you reach your goals a lot quicker with the help of RDA's Skater Success Coaches. You can follow the workout calendar and drag and drop it to fit your schedule and get access to all the boot camps and group fitness challenges for free. My favorite group challenge is Suns Out, Funds Out. because that one helped me get to my first pull-up ever. And I love that the workouts don't take up a ton of your time. They're short and effective. Roller Derby Athletics offers a ton of derby-specific workouts that will help you to be stronger and faster on the track. And it's all provided to you in the palm of your hand in an easy-to-use app. RDA wants to keep everyone safe, strong, and unstoppable. Get started on your fitness journey today. Visit rollerderbyathletics.com/plans to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Bout Betties, the only roller derby subscription service in the world. They offer a range of levels, so you're sure to find a pack that fits in your budget. So whether you're wanting derby enamel pins, comfy athleisure clothes, or sturdy workout apparel, they have you covered. As for me, I super love the apparel. You may have noticed how often I wear it when I make videos for our Facebook page. The leggings, shorts, and sports bras are amazing. The material is ridiculously silky, smooth, and soft. The first time I pulled on my leggings, I could not stop touching my legs and asking friends to touch my legs so they could feel the magic that is this material. And it's so darn cute. There's mermaids, dinosaurs, cats, and many fun new designs coming your way. Whether you're hitting the track, skate park, gym, or grocery store, you will turn heads and bring joy to those you meet. They offer sizes small through 3X, and leggings are bout tested and derby durable. Subscribe today using our podcast promo code POWER10 for 10% off your first pack at boutbetties.com. It's like derby Christmas every single month, and yes, they do ship internationally.
So we can agree that the mindset of the person being relentless, this cleaner, so to speak, is someone who pours themselves into their training and in their pursuit of their goals and just chases it down so hard, like every day is thinking about something that can help them get closer to their goals, which is absolutely in the spirit of this podcast called Power Through the Fourth Whistle, because the idea was always being able to emulate being strong and being fierce and being your best all the way through the jam every time, all the way through the end of the game, heck, all the way through the end of the season. It's a spirit of just wanting so badly to find out what our fullest potential is as athletes in the sport of roller derby specifically. It's about being able to show your greatness out there in everything you do, every chance you get in roller derby and in life. It's about just, yes, I want this, and yes, I'm going to go for this. This is going to be my thing. And you want it so much, you're willing to put anything and everything into it. And all of this is wonderful. All of this is in pursuit of something greater. And the downside is sometimes this can be a lonely journey, because sometimes you are chasing goals other people think are impossible or not worth it. They don't understand why you have a passion for this sport. They don't understand why you put your body through this every year and why you put up with these injuries, these extra expenses, as we're not getting paid. We have to pay to play this wonderful sport. No one understands how hard you work to achieve these goals, and that can make it difficult. And that's just people outside the sport. Sometimes people inside the sport don't understand your drive and ambition. And this is where my journey kind of comes into things, because I really, really wanted to succeed in roller derby. I wanted to find out how good I could be at this sport. And I don't think I found it all yet, but I've definitely found a lot. But in my journey, I found that it was really frustrating, especially in the early years, when I felt like I wanted this so bad and I was putting in so much work and energy and effort at every practice and outside of practice to train. And I didn't understand why other people didn't train off skates in their own time. And I didn't understand how other people could come to practice and not give a full effort. And I didn't understand why other people didn't want this as much as me. And it kind of built inside of me this kind of almost resentment at times for some of my teammates along my roller derby journey, as I didn't understand why other people weren't like me. And that's lonely. That's a very lonely way to be. And I tried to bring people along with me, but I think I tried to do that in a forceful way, in a way that was not conducive to understanding how each individual person operates and how to best motivate other people and bring them along with me. And one of the best things I did was letting go of that eventually, letting go of leadership roles, letting go of expectations of trying to hold other people to a standard I was holding for myself, and ignoring people who thought I was being too hard on myself and that I shouldn't be chasing this standard, this achievable goal, that things I was doing was good enough and I should just relax and chill out. Instead, I let go of all of that, and I decided I'm just going to be me now. I'm going to find out who I am, and I'm going to chase this for myself. And so I embarked on a journey of introspection and training and figuring out how to make myself more mentally tough by reading lots of books, because the biggest thing in my way was my own mindset. And the more I trained that and worked that and just made these breakthroughs over and over again, the more it translated to being on the track. When I stopped worrying about what other people thought of me in all of my extra training, when I stopped worrying about what other people thought of me in the game, in the moment, in the stands, when I stopped thinking about all of that stuff and just was there and relied on my instincts and everything I had been training for, when I just let myself be as good as I could be and not holding back. I didn't want to hold back anymore. I was done with holding back. I was done with holding back in games. I was done with holding back in practice. And that's not a verbal thing. I played the game. And in doing that, I ended up setting an example that ended up getting through to more of my teammates. Like, it wasn't even the goal. The goal was just, okay, I'm going to get as awesome as I can get now and stop worrying about anyone else. And that was finally the moment where my teammates wanted to get on board and they wanted a piece of what I was doing. They wanted to be a part of that journey too. And they started stepping up their training without being asked. They started stepping up their effort without anyone telling them to, because they saw the example and they were inspired. It's weird to talk about it like this because it sounds cocky, but it's not meant to be cocky. It's just, this podcast is about inspiring other people, and this was a time where I could be a source of inspiration to others, and I didn't even know I was doing it until people would come afterward and say something to me. And that made all the difference. It made all the difference. I got what I wanted. What I wanted was for everyone to come on this roller derby journey with me. And it turned out the best way to do that was to go on the journey and then see if anyone wanted a ride, wanted to come with. I don't know how to even explain this, but being relentless is about having courage. Courage to be yourself. Courage to say, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to go for this as hard as I can. If I'm wrong at any point of the way, if I lose my way, I'll make a change and I'm going to be fine. And that was a really nice thing about the process, is I was also able to let go of failure, because failure is what happens when you decide that you failed. Like, oh, I failed, and then you stop. But until then, you could still be looking for ways to get where you want to be. Failure is giving up. I mean, you only have to fail temporarily, right? You can fail at your hockey stop 100 times until you succeed. Does it mean you're a failure? No, it means you're in progress. It means you're still learning and working on stuff. And the beauty of being relentless and finally finding that confidence, that inner confidence where you're like, other people need to plan for me now. I don't care what the opponent is doing. They have to figure out me because I'm going to dominate this. I'm going to come out there and aim high and know that even if I fall short, it was like, it's still worth doing. And as long as I am on, no one can beat me. I am unbeatable on the inside, no matter what happens out there physically. And the greatest battles you're ever going to fight are just with yourself. You are your toughest opponent. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll be able to meet every challenge with confidence. You'll be able to believe you are really prepared for anything and you can do anything. And that's maybe more important now than ever, that you have the belief, that you develop the belief. Because right now, you might feel lonely. You might feel alone in your training. You might feel like a boat drifting out at sea without a port, not really knowing where you're going or what you're doing, not having a destination. But if you believe you can get yourself prepared for anything, then you will be unstoppable when we return back to roller derby. And it doesn't mean you have to train like Michael Jordan. It doesn't mean you have to put in 8 hours a day of physical training. And I really hope you don't, because we've talked a lot about how great this is a time for resting our bodies. But I think this is a great time for building up mental resilience, building up mental toughness and power, building up confidence. And one of the ways I do that has always been physical. And that means I need to train on things that I know I can do right now. And for everyone, that's going to be a little bit different. I think this is a great time to just work on the things that you know you're weak on and you could be stronger at. And then when you are ready to come back to roller derby, you're going to be so well-rounded and capable, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. Now, I said before I had some criticisms about the idea of being relentless, and part of that is just some of the darker sides to this, and I'm just going to talk about it a little bit. For example, one of the things Tim Grover says is that emotions are weak and emotions make you weak. And the only exception to the emotions rule is anger. Controlled anger is a deadly weapon in the right hands. Now, to a degree, there is some truth in this, because I think that you can use focused and controlled anger to propel you. I have absolutely done that before when I was feeling disillusioned with my team, disillusioned with the people around me. Sometimes I used some of that anger and resentment I felt towards other people and channeled it into intense training, channeled it into physical domination at practice. Not in a mean way, just in a no giver of fox here kind of way. Just like, I'm on my journey. I'm on my journey now. And sometimes that means embracing your dark side, which was something I did find and I have dialed into at times. There was an entire season where I felt like I was finding this dark side where you're a predator and you use it. And this dark side is just kind of this, it's not like a hot fire. It's like a cool blue fire inside of you where you're just like, come on, I dare you. And you just channel this and you use that. I think all of that is very powerful. I think all of that's very useful as an athlete in training, in practice, in games, in competition. But I don't think emotions make you weak. I refuse to believe that emotions make you weak. I think emotions make you strong. I think emotions are what propel us to want to be great and to chase things. Why would we even bother if there weren't emotions in this journey of roller derby and in this sport, if you didn't feel something in games and feel something at practice, why bother? You're just going through the motions at that point, right? I think you should feel. I think you should let yourself feel. However, I feel there's a limit where you control your feelings and you don't let your feelings control you. I think you can use things like anger in a productive way as long as you keep it in that cool blue fire jar that you're visualizing inside yourself. I think you can use grief and loss as something that can make you want to do better in memory of something that has gone from your life now. But as long as that doesn't bleed over into affecting your performance and taking away from it, I think you should have your emotions and you should use your emotions, but don't let them use you. You get to be the winner of this. I also think that this book really lacks talking about joy and enjoying the game as much as it could be. Sure, it said a little bit about, oh yeah, Michael Jordan always like made sure the crowd's having a good time and like to do some style points types of things. But mostly this book talked a lot about just like, oh, the hunger, oh, the chase, oh. But there can be so much enjoyment in the chase. Oh, it's like, I mean, even let's talk about hunger literally for a minute. If there's like, really tasty dessert you want it so bad. Isn't the anticipation almost as good as receiving your very special treat? And that's what the journey's about. The journey is about the anticipation of getting your goal. It's about enjoying the working process and learning and just, like not just learning, but taking what you've learned and improving on it. Like that moment where you're like, yes, I got the thing. And now I see how to do the next part of the thing. And letting go of external pressure and expectations, just being yourself and loving this process. I think it can be fun to be relentless. I think it can be fun to have little bits of competition with yourself and with your teammates and with your opponents. I think as long as you don't forget to have the fun, this can still be a really good journey. Don't go full dark. You can use your dark side, but don't become Darth Vader. Come back to the light is what I'm trying to say. And I think sometimes in my early years in particular, I think my approach was selfish and judgy. I'll just say that. It was selfish and judgy. And I think sometimes if you are only results focused, if you're only like, I need to chase this one thing and everyone else better get out of my way, then you really, I think you miss out on some things and you will be lonely. The book talks a lot about if you are an elite athlete and you get yourself to this point, then loneliness is just part of it. You have to accept that in chasing being in a class all by yourself, you are in a class all by yourself. And the more I really digested that over the course of my career, the more I realized I didn't want to be alone in my journey. I didn't want to be just sitting there in a little room by myself. I wanted to be in the room where it happens, where everybody else is. I wanted to be part of a group because it's a team sport. So I think there are so many, I do recommend reading the book. I think there are so many aspects of this that can help in motivation. Actually, if you're a cleaner, you probably don't need motivation much like me, but I think it's about understanding some things really well. But I say the education does not stop here. This is not the full story because next week I want to talk about what happens when you take one of the most relentless athletes that has ever played a sport and you make this person into a team work oriented athlete. You teach them to pass the ball and have faith in other people. Because whether you are this athlete or you know this athlete, you might be coaching this athlete, I think hearing about the journey of Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson as a coach, and the evolution of this player is really inspirational and can help with how we understand ourselves and each other and become better leaders and teammates in our sport. And I'm very excited for that next part, but you'll have to wait till next week. Thank you for listening. And before I go, I need for you all to be aware that I am on Animal Crossing now. I'm very much enjoying my Animal Crossing experience. My island is named Endor. So get in touch because even though I'm in the early stages, I'm sure turnips will be a thing soon and other stuff. So if you want to play, I would love to play with you. Thank you to all of our patrons on Patreon who support this podcast. Thank you so much, especially our top tier patrons, Sheila Stryker, Bye Felicia, Stevie Kicks, Rachel White, Tara Wiebenson, and the training team at Charlotte Roller Derby. And thank you to those of you who shopped in our Threadless store this week. This week, that was Sunna, who got a Punch That Shark shirt. I really hope I said your name correctly this time. It was difficult for me before, and I hope my Midwestern accent didn't get in the way. Thank you to Genergy, who transcribes all these episodes and makes them wonderfully accessible for everyone. And thank you to people who shared things on social media this week from last week's episode. Cindy Martin, Hulkstress, Rat City Roller Derby, Throttle Rockets, Boomtown Roller Derby, Razor D. Rockefeller, Jamie Morose, Tina Bond, Ashley Dawn. Yeah, that's everybody. And thank you to our sponsors, Roller Derby Athletics and Bout Betties. Really appreciate your support. We have been talking about Derby and sharing Derby thoughts. Pew, pew! I have apples and cherries on my island. Come see.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. I really hope those laser beams of positivity will carry through your day. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter at Power Fourth Whistle. That's P-O-W-E-R, the number 4, T-H-W-H-I-S-T-L-E. You can find fun videos of on and off skates training at our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram. You could also support the podcast on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. The benefits of becoming a patron include fun stuff I can send you, like stickers, buttons, or shirts from our Threadless store. You can get access to our Discord server, bonus content, and free giveaways. Plus, patrons now have access to an ad-free version of the podcast that will download to your favorite podcast app each week, and everyone can access our transcribed episodes at patreon.com/powerfourthwhistle. If you like the content we provide and want to support us on this journey, please consider becoming a patron. If you want to expand your derby wardrobe, of course, another way to support the podcast is visiting our store at powerfourthwhistle.threadless.com, where you can get our designs on just about any type of apparel or accessory you can dream up. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. Leaving reviews is still the best way to help this podcast be found and spread those laser beams of positivity to more humans. Plus, it's a way you can give back that is completely free. Open up your Apple Podcast app, punch those stars, and leave me a pew pew!